All right, welcome to episode 5 of the Big Red Cobcast. Before we start the show, I wanted to say thanks to a couple people. So the first guy is Bob Wiltfong, a hilarious comedian. You've seen him on commercials and TV and all that good stuff. And he's been writing some stuff for us. So thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Also, I want to thank Andy Harris. He's been doing a lot of the imaging for us, some of our bits, our intro. You can always tell the stuff he does, it's the stuff that sounds way better. So when you hear something, you go, hey, how come this one sounds better than all the other stuff? Because Andy did it, that's why. And you can hire Andy to do it for you. You can go check out his reels and all that good stuff at andyharrisvoiceover.com. You can also hear him on the Comedy Couple podcast, thecomedycouple.com. All right, thanks. Enjoy the show.
From Van Nuys, California,
about 15 miles away from Hollywood, California,
it's the Big Red Cobcast.
Big Red Cobcast
with Ryan Tweedy,
5'11", 200 pounds, pure muscle, from Lincoln, Nebraska,
and Joe Canale.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Now, the Big Red Cobcast.
Welcome to
the Big Red Cobcast. That was nice.
Yeah. I'm Joe Canale.
I'm Ryan Tweedy.
And in this week's episode, we're going to be touching on Huskers in the news for all the wrong reasons. We're going to give our running back and offensive line preview. And we're going to be talking about perhaps a kinder, gentler Bo Pelini? Question mark?
Do you believe it? I don't know.
And as you may just tell already, we're always messing with the format here. So what we thought we'd do is, as opposed to the rambling meandering that we generally do, we'd give a little table of contents at the top and then jump into things that way. But before we do that, Ryan Tweedy is here.
Yep, I'm here.
Did I already say my name? I think so.
Yeah, we've already both said our names.
We did?
Like several times, I think.
I mean, they'll still be rambling.
Yep. Last night I went to a Clippers game.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's the end of the story. I went to a Clippers game.
Who'd they play?
They dominated the Pelicans.
Ah, the Pellies.
Yeah. And I drank quite a bit, and so...
It must cost you a lot of money. Drinking in an arena can be very costly.
Yeah. Well, we actually drank before, during, and after.
Ah.
So
did you have good seats?
No.
Up in the top?
Yeah, and it's like they put that glass up like maybe 10 inches, so you could literally just plummet to your death.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised people haven't done it many times.
I'm sure they have. They just don't publicize it. This is the meandering we were talking about.
Yep.
But it's the top of the show, you know. Again, these are the slow weeks.
And I think, I think our audience wants to know who we are. Why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself? What did you do?
What did I do this week? Geez, trying to think of what I did this week. I have a pretty new baby, so we're trying to sleep train her, and I have another daughter who's older, and when you sleep train a baby, this is so not Husker related, but what you're supposed to
Huskers
do is,
have babies.
They do, lots of Huskers. So here's some parenting tips. Generally, sleep training is when you put your baby to bed at night, they cry, and you're supposed to just let them cry. Well, my baby goes right to bed at night. So there's no sleep training involved with that. But every night this week, she's woken up at either 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock or both in one instance and cried for a solid hour. Now, when it's 7 o'clock at night and you're listening to the baby cry, that's almost tolerable. You can put the TV on. You can, kind of do stuff around the house. When it's 4 in the morning and your baby's crying for an hour, that's deadly.
Yeah.
So I've been basically exhausted for the whole week.
Okay.
So that's all I've basically done that I can recall.
So what was the parenting tip?
The parenting tip is is make sure your baby cries when you put them down to bed and not at 4 in the morning. So I don't know if there's anything you can do to help that, but the parenting tip is just sleep whenever you possibly can.
So, okay, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you think that Richie Incognito was sleep trained well? Like that, I slipped a little transition
nice.
In there.
Nice, that was a transition into our Huskers in the news for all the wrong reasons. I think there's probably a lot of explanations for Richie Incognito. Sleep deprivation would be a good one because you're always a little touchy when you're sleep deprived, you know? Although I don't know if I've ever had the energy to leave my house and bash my
Ferrari.
Well, my Hyundai in my case, because I was tired. I would be too tired to do that. But Richie's got a lot of energy, it seems like.
Yeah, the weird thing, here's the thing about Richie that gets me the most. We talked about it a little bit before. He's so, like, on the surface, like, he seems like a good, normal guy.
He's an articulate guy. He doesn't seem like a meathead necessarily. In interviews, he always seems fairly collected and reasoned, and he's thoughtful. But then you hear these other things, or his tweets, you know. He obviously has some impulse control issues. And, you know, this probably comes from a larger issue of, you know, the head injuries and what does that exactly do to a person's reasoning abilities and cognitive abilities.
But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have head injuries, like,
and don't bash their Ferraris or
say they're going to rape their friend's sisters.
Yeah,
and
I suppose that's probably outside the realm. He's an interesting character. We all know the story of Richie Incognito, I'm sure. And he was at Nebraska. And I remember him when he was at Nebraska. You know, like most offensive linemen. This is a teaser for our offensive linemen preview. Like most offensive linemen, you know, there's not a whole lot to say about them other than they're good or they're bad. But then he got kicked out during the, of course, the long-forgotten Callaway era, Callahan era.
Oh, I talked to him on the phone once when I was waiting tables in Chicago.
Go on.
And his this guy comes in, and he's wearing, like, a Husker shirt, and my manager's like, oh, I'll give you our Husker waiter or whatever.
Sure.
And so I go up to his table, he's like, you'll never guess who my brother is. And I was like, I won't. And he's like, it's Bill
You're right, I won't.
And so he's like, yeah, I'll call him and talk to him. And I didn't have the balls to say, you know,
I hate Bill Callahan.
Yeah, like, I don't want to talk to your brother. I hope he gets fired. Like,
so this was after his first year.
Yeah. And so he puts me on the phone, and he literally apologizes to me. He goes, sorry about this game last weekend.
Nice. Well, at least he knew.
Yeah. So my response was, you can't make him not fumble, coach. Like,
you're being nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bad Husker.
Yeah,
but,
he is.
But, you know, Richie, you know, luckily a lot of it's not coming back to Nebraska because they did kick him out of school. So it makes it look like, you know, as opposed to if they had, you know, had embraced him at Nebraska and if they had coddled him. A lot of times you hear about these problem guys and they're able to get through school.
Like Marinovich.
Right. Or I don't know where Dexter Manley went to school, but Dexter Manley wasn't a bad guy, but he was illiterate. He couldn't read. So wherever he went to school, he was able to get through school for 2 or 3 or 4 years without knowing how to read. That is an indictment of the school. I don't think this reflects badly on Nebraska necessarily.
Right.
Now, and Nebraska's been good with discipline. We know the Avery Moss story as well.
Yeah.
And I think at a lot of other schools, he probably would have somehow gotten, you know, been suspended for the first 2 games of the season or something. But Nebraska took a very productive player who could have helped their team this year.
Well, I think part of that, and it's very one of the very few times I'll say something positive about Mr. Pearlman, but Harvey Pearlman doesn't let the football program get away with whatever it wants to get away with.
No.
And Bo, I mean, Coach Tom, Coach Osborne, he wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have hired Bo if he didn't have good moral character.
That's true.
So there's that. I mean, I think a lot of this falls back that's why Callahan sucked so hard. is because, he wasn't Tom's choice. He wasn't
Dr. Tom's choice. That's right. It was in that short period of time where Dr. Tom was a congressman, I believe, and so didn't have time for the Cornhuskers. Shame on you, Dr. Tom. Just kidding. And yeah, who was that AD?
Steve Peterson.
Yeah, he was awful.
He was the worst.
So
I think he's up at Washington now or something like that.
Probably. Probably some horrible program with no morals. But Richie Incognito, you know, it doesn't flash back to Nebraska too much, his activities.
We got rid of him. He didn't even really play there. I mean,
He played at Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, he did, but I don't think he got a whole lot of snaps, did he?
I thought he was like a starter, but then he went
for like a couple games, but then didn't he get kicked off?
He did get kicked off, but I thought he played a full season or something.
Oh, maybe he did.
This is a lot of hearsay. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
But then he went up to Oregon and didn't even play at all with them because he got kicked off of their team.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
He never played with Oregon. And then he still got drafted.
Is Incognito the one that punched the dude and Scott Frost had to grab him? Or am I mixing things up?
Listeners, only you can solve this mystery. He may have. It sounds like something he would do. It's also, he has a very ironic last name. There's no offensive lineman in the NFL who's less incognito than Richie Incognito.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Kind of like how Ndamukong's last name is Sue, because he's the least girly.
Yes. He's a boy named Sue. And just like the Johnny Cash song, he's a one tough mofo. You never hear about offensive linemen in the NFL unless they're incredibly great or something like this happens. Other Huskers in the news for all the wrong reasons, of course. I mentioned Avery Moss and
Dennard.
It's like Osborne.
Yep.
Alfonso is in, as of right now, he's turned himself in and is serving time in a Lincoln jail.
Yeah.
For a couple of offenses.
Yeah, the main one is he punched a cop.
Right. Punched a cop. I mean, that is incredible that he punched a cop and...
You know, he says it was an accident, and I believe him. I believe him mainly because... He played for the Huskers and...
Well, and the other reason to believe him is, why in God's name would you on purpose punch a cop? I mean, no one, when about to punch a cop, is thinking this is a good idea. I can't imagine anyone would think that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in that regard...
Especially when the NFL draft is literally the following week.
Yes, and it did hurt him. He went to the 7th round because of that.
Yeah, they got the best... I emailed our friend, I think Jess Allen, Jessica.
Sure.
And I was like, you guys just got the best deal in the draft.
They got a third round pick in the 7th round, basically, is how that works out.
And that's playing like a first round pick.
Yes, he's good. He was their second best defensive back to Aqib Talib, who also has had some legal trouble. Boy, these football players, they do have run-ins. but he's serving time in a Lincoln jail, and the Big Red Cobcast, which is us,
mm-hmm.
we have incredible resources.
Yeah,
incredible resources that allow us access that other people, including the NSA, don't even have.
Yeah,
and we've been able to install recording devices basically anywhere we need them. And we were able to install a recording device inside Alfonso Dennard's cell at this Lincoln jail.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised how easy it was. Like, we just snuck right in.
We just walked in, and, we don't want to give away all our secrets.
Right, right.
But the point is, we have this recording equipment there, and we were able to record Alfonso's first day in the jail.
Former Nebraska DB Alfonso Dennard recently began serving a 60-day sentence in a Nebraska jail. The Big Red Cobcast was there to record his big day.
All right, step up, inmate, and state your name.
Alfonso Dennard.
All right, here's your uniform. You will be inmate number 614589.
How about I just be number 15?
Oh, yeah, sure. Great idea. Now, we just have some paperwork for you to fill out.
Okay.
Print here, and sign on the line here, and now sign right here, and sign your name here, and please write to Bill, my biggest fan.
This is just a blank piece of paper.
Yeah, it's just standard operating procedure. Now, just a couple more here. Now, these I need you to sign with this silver Sharpie.
These are just pictures of me.
Well, How about that? Just prison policy, I guess.
All the inmates gotta do this.
Yo, they didn't make me sign shit, man.
Please escort inmate 844-247 to the hole, please. Over and out. And we got just one more thing here. If you could just sign this picture of the 1995 National Championship team.
Man, I wasn't even on that team. I was 6 years old.
Okay, so just sign it, Tommy Frazier. Cool, so?
So, wow.
That's kind of how I figured it would be.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. You figure, you know, he serves his time in Lincoln. It's going to be a little different.
Yeah.
Probably different than if you or I was in that jail.
Yeah, my signature on anything isn't
worth it. Doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But so, okay, so let me ask you a question, Joe.
Go ahead.
If you had to pick your four favorite running backs of all time in Nebraska, your Mount Rushmore of running backs.
Okay.
Who would it be?
Mike Rozier. Roger Craig, because I'm just old enough to remember that. Tom Rathman. So this is those are all in my wheelhouse. He's a fullback. You're not counting him?
We want to separate it? I mean, you're not really going to get four fullbacks, so let's count it.
Okay. Although I could take him out because I want to say Burkhead, who I really liked.
Really?
I liked Burkhead because he was never lost yardage. Shiftier than you would think.
Yeah.
Always got, you know, like versatile. He ran the Wildcat fairly successfully.
Yeah, he threw the ball.
Yeah, a few times.
For touchdowns.
And then I think Abdullah is up there. I know Abdullah is like.
Yeah.
He's one of your favorite Huskers of all time.
I wanted them to start Abdullah when he was like a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I remember when people were really upset about losing Burkhead. I was like,
you were not worried.
I was not worried.
Well, and at the time, they actually had Abdullah, Braylon Hurd, and the other guy who transferred.
Monty Cross, right?
No, another guy transferred that they had another.
Green?
Yes. So those were a couple four-stars they had who transferred, but they just restocked the shelves.
Terrell Newby, Imani Cross. So we're so deep right now.
So deep. Last year it was Abdullah, and then Imani Cross, and then a little bit of Terrell Newby, and then a very little bit of King Frazier at mop-up duty. Now, King has moved on to a smaller school where he can get more playing time.
Yeah, he saw the writing
on the wall. We wish you well, King, because they have the guys I mentioned before, Amir Abdullah, who is an All-American candidate, potentially Heisman candidate. This is our running back preview, by the way, folks.
Oh,
yeah. You didn't figure it out.
Oh, I wanted to do my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, we'll get to the running back preview in a second. Yeah, you're Mount Rushmore.
So, Amon Green.
Because you're a little younger than me, so Green fits in to your formative years.
Now, purely based on football prowess.
I know who you're going to say.
Lawrence Phillips.
Sure. Okay. Perhaps the most talented Nebraska running back of all time.
Perhaps Bo Jackson talented.
Maybe. I see him like, you know, like a Earl Campbell, although he was faster and didn't hit guys as much. But he was a beast.
And he was big as fast as he was.
And he clearly had a mean streak.
Yeah.
This ties into what we were saying before our opening topic of Huskers in the news for all the wrong reasons. Lawrence Phillips is in a jail, and I don't think he's getting the Alfonso Denard treatment.
Oh, no. He's in jail for, I believe, 14 more years.
Yeah.
He's actually right outside of L.A.
Yeah.
Well, Kern Valley State Prison or whatever.
All right.
Our
neighbor.
Yeah.
So Amon Green, Lawrence Phillips.
Yeah. Oh, man, it gets tricky from here.
You're going to put Abdullah on your list.
I'm not going to.
Whoa!
Because he hasn't earned it yet. Because
he's current?
Yeah.
Okay, next year he gets on there.
I think he's going to be one of the top three running backs of all time. Easy.
In Nebraska?
In Nebraska, yeah. I think so.
He'll have played for 4 years. He's probably going to have close to 2,000 yards next year is my guess. Although my hope, honestly, is that he has less carries and they share the carries a little more to preserve him and to get these other guys up to speed.
Yeah, what about McVicka?
Which one?
Joel.
Joel Mackovica? I mean, I think Tom Rathman was a far superior player to Mackovica.
See, I didn't get to see the only thing I ever seen of Tom Rathman was old videos of like highlight reels. But he does still hold the record for most yards by fullback.
Yeah. I mean, that was when they had the option where, you know, teams were so worried about the quarterback / running back that they almost, you know.
What about Schlesinger? I mean, if we're going to talk about fullbacks, Schlesinger up. I mean, without Schlesinger, we don't have a national championship.
That's true. That's true. Well, are you counting that touchdown run he had?
Two touchdowns.
Okay, but I mean, they could have gotten somebody else to run those
things. Yeah, but he ran, there were 50-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, but that's exactly the thing. When that option is hot, that's why you could, when that old Nebraska option was working, people were so worried about the sweep of the quarterback or the tailback that you could either A, hand it to the fullback and pretty much have a gaping hole, or B, fake it to the fullback and then roll a little bit and then drop back. And it was almost always a play action, like a tight end open 20 yards.
Yeah.
Nobody close to him.
They probably only had five balls thrown to him his entire career.
But they were all 45-yard touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say Tom Rathman / Schlesinger / Mackovica all in one spot.
Wow. That face is going to look weird on
that. Yeah. Because, I mean, I can't give them, you know, they all deserve
it's
a spot.
Just the fullbacks. You might as well just have a Nebraska fullbacks Mount Rushmore and just add one face to it.
Yeah. And then, let's see. Who's the last one? Either I'm going to go with Rozier just because.
Yeah, I mean, we're listing almost all the Nebraska running backs.
Yeah.
Since
Calvin Jones, I mean,
oh, yeah.
He was great.
I thought when he came in, the guy Marlon Lucky, he was highly recruited.
Yeah.
He was a
Hollywood guy, wasn't he?
He was from right around here in L.A. He was recruited by the guy, the name we shall not mention.
Yeah.
And he was highly touted. I thought he'd be a little better than he turned out to be. But they've, you know, who's the guy who's on the Redskins now?
Oh, Helu. He was great.
He was very good. Surprising. Like, he's as good in the pros as he was here in Lincoln. He was injury prone, I think, and that's why he didn't get as many carries. But they have obviously a long tradition, and this year's team could be as good as, at least as deep as any team in recent memory. Because beyond Abdullah.
Yeah, who's the guy you're always talking about that I don't really remember.
Aaron Taylor?
Aaron Taylor,
Not Aaron Taylor. It's Adam Taylor.
Adam Taylor, yeah.
He and Newbie came in.
Newbie's the one that I have high hopes for.
Well, Newbie's kind of a shifty Barry Sanders type.
Yeah.
Adam Taylor is, from what I understand, a more traditional kind of, you know, 220-pound, up the middle.
The bus.
Just, up, you know, hardcore running back. He was a 4-star as well. He redshirted, and now they're ready to unveil him, which is probably going to allow them to redshirt Michael Wilbon from Chicago, another 4-star. Like, if you were to look at the average stars, I think Abdullah is probably a 3-star, but the last couple years, they've brought in great recruits, and
Stars
mean nothing, but these guys are highly decorated, at least, and they want to play for Nebraska, which says good things about the Nebraska offense. I think Newbie, they got to get him catching some passes.
I think the beating Georgia really is going to help us.
Helping with the recruiting.
Look at 2015. We almost got as many players on that list as we did the 2014.
That's true. Nebraska could have 1, 2, 3, 4. They could have, now, who knows about these freshmen, but they could have 5 running backs who make it to the pros. Abdullah's making it.
Yeah, he's going first round.
I think Imani Cross is going to make it to a team.
Yeah, he could easily be a short yardage kind of back.
Absolutely.
In the NFL.
He's a junior this year, I believe.
Especially on a team like the Chargers, where they got that real fast kind of players. Isn't that the Chargers?
What do you mean? All the NFL teams have real fast players.
No, I mean, like, they're running, like, they don't have the big brutes. Like, when I think of, like, big brutes, I think of, like, the Steelers, those kind of backs.
Sure.
They've just got all these, like, little fast, I don't watch pro football.
Wait, are you saying Imani Cross or Abdullah?
Imani Cross.
But Cross is not as fast as Abdullah.
But that's my point. Is it a team that needs that kind of guy?
Right.
That needs that guy that's going to get 4, you know, like the Bears, they got Forte. They need.
Right. They need a bruiser.
Yeah.
Well, Cross had 10 touchdowns last year. That's pretty, on it's not he's, many carries.
Yeah, it's because he's just picking up.
Yeah, Abdullah's getting it to the three, and then Cross is running it in.
Yeah.
And they also, like I said, they had this Wilbon character, not from PTI. So they are stacked at running back. And their fullbacks, of course, if we were to talk about them, their fullbacks this year are, where do we have them on our list?
Oh.
I don't have those guys memorized. I apologize.
Yep. There we are.
You got, who are these guys? Well, Janovich is the guy who played last year a lot. They're all from Nebraska as I look at the...
It looks like, was that Cottrell?
Cottrell? He's listed as a linebacker slash...
I think you're going to see a lot of these guys getting flipped around on defense and stuff this year.
Well, he's a redshirt, Bo Cottrell. Not a redshirt. He's a walk-on, rather. So
from Ashland.
Harrison Jordan. I don't know any of these guys, except I look at all of them. They're all Nebraska guys. I wonder when the last Nebraska fullback who wasn't from the state of Nebraska was.
Oh, that's a good quiz.
That's a good trivia question.
Yeah, whoever can answer that, the first person to email us with the answer to that, either on, we have a Facebook page now, guys, so you can go
look
right there
for
on Facebook.
The Big Red Cobcast on Facebook to answer our trivia question. Who's the last Nebraska fullback not from the state of Nebraska?
That started, right?
That played.
Significantly. Yeah. Not the guy that got the one carry against.
Guy has to have at least 10 carries in a season, we'll say.
Yeah, okay.
Arbitrarily.
Okay. And the first person to answer wins something. What do they win, Joe?
Oof. Beyond our undying devotion, what's our prize packets like? We got some gum here.
Yeah.
I see we got a couple packs of Trident gum. We'd have to send those to you. You'd get a shout out, certainly.
And it'd be, we had to send it to you COD, because I mean.
Right, right. So for the prize will be TBD.
Yeah.
Answer the question first, then you'll get the prize. the feeling of answering a trivia question should be prize in and of itself, but we'll work
if they
on
wanted
something.
If they wanted to send us the answer via Twitter, Joe, where would they do it?
If you wanted to tweet us, do we have a Twitter account for this page yet?
No, we don't. We probably won't on that.
We won't do that.
Yeah.
We have our own Twitter accounts. Mine is... Weaselicious.
Spell it, because it's spelled
W-E-A-S-E-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S. Weaselicious.
And I'm Tweety, letter I, letter M, T-W-E-E-D-Y.
I think that's the first time you've gotten through spelling your...
I know, I was focused.
Your Twitter name without interrupting it in the middle. It's only like 8 letters, but...
I was focused that time. Yeah. I knew, I picked a point on the wall, I stared at it, and I said the spelling.
So good things ahead for the Nebraska running backs is the short story of our preview. And because this next position is tied into the running game so tightly, and also because it may not be able to sustain an entire segment on its own, we're also going to
talk
about...
Not because it's not important.
Oh, it's perhaps the most important position.
Yeah.
But it's not a glamour position. As we were saying earlier when we were talking about Richie Incognito, the only time you hear about these offensive linemen is when they are...
destroying their vehicles with
right,
bats.
Right, exactly. Or they're making the Hall of Fame, like Will Shields should. We're looking at a roster here, and Nebraska has 23 offensive linemen.
No, 26.
26! 26 offensive linemen. If they can't pull 5 dudes out of that, they'll probably redshirt a few, but a nice, again, some nice players who either redshirted last year or are coming in as transfers. I think this Nebraska offense is going to be crushing this
score. It's going to be the scoring explosion, too. However, I haven't seen that for the last 3 seasons. So
yeah, well, last year there were injuries to Taylor. I think this year they're going to come out with either more experienced or more talented quarterback, one way or the other, than last year. And their offensive line, all those injuries at the end of last year were a positive in regards to this year.
Yeah, because he got a lot of experience, yeah.
All those guys got experience, and...
Cole Pensick, is he coming back, or is he gone? He's gone, right, Pensick?
Pensick is gone. They lost 5 seniors. They had 5 seniors on their offensive line who left. But they got guys like Ryan Reeves, who played a little bit, Mark Pelini, of course.
Chongo Condolo.
He didn't play at all. He was redshirted.
Yeah.
So he's gonna.
No, he was a transfer.
Transfer,
right?
But I think
they redshirted him. A redshirt JUCO transfer.
He didn't play, and they saved his. They were saving his season so he could play 2 years. I know there was thought of having him come in at the end of the year when they were, you know, real thin on the offensive line, but they saved him, so he has 2 years of eligibility. I don't know how all these battles are gonna shake out, but you've got guys like Nick Gates, who is a highly touted freshman coming in, Tanner Farmer,
Mark Pelini,
highly touted. Who?
Mark Pelini, Bo's nephew.
Yes, we mentioned him. I did. Maybe you didn't hear it.
Oh,
it's all right. Jake Cotton, who played. You know, like it looks like as I look at the list, there's five or six guys who played last year. There's four or five guys who I heard about coming in last year, including guys like Alex Lewis, the guy from Colorado, also a guy who had some legal issues. It's the legal issues / offensive line show.
And most of them are offensive linemen that are having these.
Yeah, I think Paul Thurston, I remember he was a big-time recruit from last year. So I think they're looking good, and they have a lot of talented young linemen. So there's not a lot of guys who are going to be seniors as I look.
No, we have a really young team.
Jake Cotton is a senior.
Randy Gregory might as well be a senior, but he's not offensive line.
No, Mike Moody, who played last year, is a senior. Mark Pelini is a senior. So guys who were playing a lot last year are seniors, but those guys may not even win their jobs.
Zach Stirrup.
Is he a senior?
No, but he's going to be good.
Yeah, he played a lot last year. So I feel good things are coming down the pipe.
I mean, what would you say is the weakest position on the offense? Because, I mean, we're stacked at quarterback. We're stacked at running back. Tight end?
Yeah.
I mean.
I would say tight end.
And the receiving core is deep.
Yeah. Like, the wide receivers are good because Kenny Bell and
Jamal Turner.
If Jamal Turner can stay healthy. And Birch is kind of that guy who catches, you know, he catches a few touchdowns and blowouts because nobody's covering him. But Westerkamp, that's three. Westerkamp, Turner, and Bell are three guys. Those are three guys who maybe could play in the pros.
I think Turner might have a tough time.
Maybe
he's a little guy.
Yeah, and he hasn't produced a lot. This is a big season for him. But that's in our wide receiver tight end preview. That we'll later. Now the offensive line, Nebraska has been known for years as having state-of-the-art weightlifting facilities and training standards that get their offensive linemen strong and gaining
the
weight.
The pipeline.
But they've been instituting some new techniques, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And we have one of our field reporters, one of our endless number of field reporters, did a little piece on the offensive linemen and their new training techniques.
Yeah.
And the way that they're getting ready for this season. I think it's pretty innovative.
I've never heard of it before. It's
I
new.
Haven't either. It may deplete depth a little bit, but those who make it through the program are going to be stronger for it.
Yeah.
Let's go to that report.
One of the biggest concerns for the Huskers heading into this year's spring ball is the offensive line. But our very own offside reporter, I Am Unhip, tells us the Big Red coaching staff may have found a unique solution to the problem.
When offensive line coach Barney Cotton looks at his depth chart this spring, he'll see only one returning starter from last year's squad. On top of that, junior college transfer Chongo Condolo will still be recovering from an injury sustained while trying to say his own name with a straight face. Confronted with such a bleak outlook, Cotton has gone to a strategy that may just revolutionize his sport. He is having the offensive linemen eat each other. 6 foot, 8 inch tall, Zach Stirrup got the festivities underway today by overtaking, then eating, poor little Mark Pelini. Stirrup says he was sorry to kill the head coach's nephew, but at only 6 feet tall and 295 pounds, Stirrup says Pelini was easy to overtake. and delicious.
It was no problem. Pelini was in the weight room doing squats. I just went up to him, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, "Hey, Pelini, look over there. Here comes your uncle." And then gulp, I swallowed him in one bite.
After this small feast, Stirrup now tips the scale 15 pounds heavier, and the team no longer has to look on uncomfortably as Coach Bo chews out his nephew for blowing a blocking assignment. Not to be outdone, junior Matt Finnan gobbled up teeny tiny Garrett Johns of Aurora, Nebraska. It was Johns' lifelong goal to play for the Cornhuskers, but at just 6 feet tall and 280 pounds, Coach Cotton felt he would be good feed for Finnan.
"I knew Johns and his family. I know they would have wanted Garrett to die feeding some of the bigger boys here. He'll be missed, but we should see parts of him in Finnan's stool again in a couple of days."
Coach Cotton says another benefit of this unusual approach to weight gain is keeping his existing linemen spry and on their feet. After all, sophomore Dylan Utter says there's no better conditioning than running for your life.
"Oh yeah, I'm always running around here. A stationary target is an eaten target. That's what Coach always says. So you gotta keep moving. You don't want to end up being lineman alpo for anybody."
"Hey Otter, look, here comes Coach."
"Really? Where is he?
All right, that's it. I'm getting the hell out of here."
"Wait, isn't that Coach over there?"
"Hey, God! Oh, get off me! I'm on him! Offside reporter for the Big Red Cobcat!
Yeah, I have a feeling that you're right about the depth. It is going to destroy depth.
Unconventional is one way to put it. But we'll see how it works out. It's the kind of thing you try it out for 1 year, and you know, if it doesn't work out, you abandon the program. If it does work out, you got to bring in a lot more offensive
walk-ons
are good for this, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Walk-ons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one thing I will say about the police in Lincoln, I do admire the fact that anything goes when it comes to football. Like, where you can feed other players to other players.
Well, as
typically that's illegal, but not in Nebraska.
Well, I think when it's part of the program, if it's part of the training program, and it's been cleared through the university, then I think it's
they sign waivers.
Sure.
I mean, you know,
when you're a walk-on at any school, you know that the possibility exists you could be eaten by scholarship players.
Yeah, you are bottom of the food chain, literally.
Right.
Yeah,
and then some walk-ons, you know, they like Spencer Long, he got a scholarship this past season, you know, so he made it through the gauntlet.
You think
he survived?
You think he just let out a big sigh of relief, like, whew.
Right. Well, it's eat or be eaten.
Yep.
And sometimes literally.
Yeah. So okay, speaking of eaten or be eaten, you know what I mean. Speaking of that.
Speaking of those things.
Someone who I imagine eating people's faces a lot is Bo Pelini.
He perhaps could have that level of anger that he might eat someone's face.
Like when that guy in, I think it was in Miami, was on bath salts and they caught him eating someone's face.
Right.
He was wearing a red jacket and I was like, oh no, it's Bo. It's Coach Bo. I know it's Bo.
Bo don't do bath salts. He don't need them.
Yeah, he doesn't.
But I think this past season, I mean, we all know there was an incident last year that was actually from the year before. The Deadspin recording that came out.
Yeah.
What a bunch of BS that was. I hate the way that came out.
I hate the way they did it.
It came out after a loss. Somebody had a bone to pick, obviously.
After the tweet from Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy Frazier.
It was a real big pile-on. And I, for one, am glad Bo survived that. And he seems to have softened a little bit.
I think he was slightly touched a little bit by the outpour of support.
Right. You know, it got to a point there where it was going to break one way or the other when he said, they're going to fire me, they're going to fire me. You know, that's what I like about Bo. He comes right out and says it. But since that point, basically since that incident, when they then came out and supported him, we've seen a kinder, gentler Bo Pelini. Now, it remains to be seen. We've only seen one game, and it was a bowl game, and they won it. So it remains to be seen how long this kinder, gentler Bo hangs around. But there's been a lot of evidence.
Faux Pelini and the...
And how he kind of embraced Faux Pelini and...
Well, the cat... Did you saw the one where he's actually carrying the cat onto the plane with him?
I haven't.
No, so he's leaving on a recruiting trip, and he tweets a picture of him getting on a plane holding a cat carrier.
Oh, that's great.
And I mean, like, he actually... It's one thing to go on Twitter and see someone tweet at you and respond and be and turn to the guy and say, hey, joke writer, write me a funny joke. But yep. You know, he doesn't write this himself. There's no way. Someone else writes his tweets.
Probably.
But then to actually go, don't forget the cat carrier. I have a bit I want to do.
Well, I remember last year I looked at something that was online of a prank that Bo played on the whole team.
Yeah.
He yelled at some player, and then the player went, you know, out behind closed doors while the whole team is in this meeting room, and there's like yelling and crashing going on, and the whole team's getting upset.
They all thought Bo was getting beat up.
They all thought Bo was, yeah, or Bo was beating.
The way they were reacting, they thought.
Yeah, because it's unlikely that a coach.
Well, and the player he picked too was
big dude,
enormous guy. I can't remember who it was.
That could have been almost anyone on the team.
Yeah.
A cut, enormous guy. Oh, a football player.
Yeah, fair enough.
But he played the trick on the whole team, and then he came out. And so he has a sense of humor. It's just that most people haven't seen it. And I'm looking forward to this kinder, gentler Bo. I think it's going to be a new rainbow era of friendliness in Nebraska.
Well, here's the other thing. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Here we go.
So after all that,
yeah.
He did still hit a ref with his hat.
No, that was the game before that. That the Iowa game. That's when Bo said, they're going to fire me, they can fire me. That was after he hit the ref. That was the low point. That was the Bo point. So since then, that was...
Was that? I thought that was the Georgia game where he almost hit the ref.
No. He hit the ref because he got a flag in the Iowa game.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was the worst. Losing to Iowa, that should never happen.
And hopefully... Much like when Nebraska lost to Colorado so many years ago, that one loss will ensure we pound the crap out of them for the rest of the rivalry.
I hope.
You know, Colorado beat Nebraska probably like 4 or 5 times over those 20 years when they were quote-unquote rivals. Hopefully Iowa has even less success at that.
Yeah, and well, another one was Minnesota. Boy, howdy. I got heckled by a Minnesota fan, and yeah. I didn't know how to respond.
Because you didn't know what to do. It's not something that happens that often.
Yeah. He was like, he walked by me, I was in Minnesota, and he goes, Nebraska sucks! And usually I respond, you're from...
Scoreboard.
Yeah, you're from Minnesota, come on. But then, they were winning.
Yeah. It's not happy when that happens. I don't know if I told this story in this podcast before, but years and years ago, when I was a little kid, I was maybe 9 or 10.
That's not that long ago. I mean,
it's a long time. Maybe I was 11. It was like 1983, 84, something like that. Nebraska was the number one ranked team in the country. I was living in upstate New York. I had moved out of Nebraska at this point. And Nebraska played Syracuse. Now, the previous year, Nebraska beat Syracuse by like 70 points in Lincoln. So they're playing in the Carrier Dome in Syracuse. We go there. We're sitting in Syracuse section because we bought the tickets in New York. But we're geared up in Nebraska stuff.
Oh, I bet New Yorkers don't take kindly to that.
Well, this is upstate New Yorkers, so they're a little friendlier. But they all thought they were going to get beat. Tight game. Nebraska loses the game. I was crying. It was awful. Nebraska was number one at the time and got beat by Syracuse. It was like 19-17. It was unbelievable how they lost that game. And I remember being kind of heckled as we were going out of the Carrier Dome, and made me hate Syracuse for years after that.
Yeah. I always kind of liked Minnesota just because tradition.
They were a non-entity, really.
I don't like them now.
Nothing threatening. No.
Yeah.
And now,
you go up there, maybe it's a close game for a quarter. Everybody's cool. You drink beers with each other. Yeah. But now that they've heckled me, I want to demolish them every season forever.
We don't want to see the kinder, gentler Bo Pelini at the Minnesota game or the Iowa game.
No. So do you honestly, okay, how much of it is a media, like how much of Bo Pelini's personality is the media's fault? And how much of it is Bo is actually an angry monster?
I think a lot of football coaches are angry like him behind closed doors. I think Bo's quote-unquote problem is that he's so upfront and honest about it. He doesn't, you think, like Nick Saban, you can see the fury and rage in him when he's real calm and collected in his press conference. You know that guy is screaming his butt off at people. You know he's a maniac.
Yeah.
He's just a little better at being false in public. I think Bo kind of can't help himself. He is who he is, and he makes no bones about it. I think it's Bo's fault, I guess you would say, but it's Bo's fault for being himself.
Yeah, and also I think part of the problem is he just looks angry.
Yeah.
So when he might be like at a 7, he looks like he's at a 14.
Right. You look at a guy like Spurrier, he's got that shit-eating grin on his face all the time. And I actually believe he doesn't get too mad. He's playing golf 3 days a week, probably more. So he's a guy who I think is actually authentic in terms of he doesn't care.
Right.
He doesn't care. He's got his job. He's going to win 9 games in the SEC. No easy task, but he's taking it easy.
Well, then you've also, like, guys like Barry Switzer.
Barry Switzer, yeah.
God, did you hear what he said, right?
No, what?
He said he would never, he called Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, called him a arrogant little prick.
Wow.
And he said that if he was coaching in the NFL, he would never have a white quarterback. And then the best part is, so Troy Aikman tweeted him, like, what about me?
Right. Hey, Barry. Yeah, Barry Switzer, he's irrelevant. So he was just trying to get himself on the news. Good for you, Barry.
Yeah.
It worked. Remember when your starting quarterback got caught dealing cocaine?
Well, remember when you got caught with a gun?
Gun at the airport?
See, you probably hate Oklahoma, right?
I do.
See, I'm just past that.
Right.
I don't have that hatred.
I remember one of the first little drawings I did as a little kid. My mom still has it up in our kitchen or laundry room or something. It's a picture of a Nebraska player running past Oklahoma players, and the score is like, you know, Nebraska 28, Oklahoma 27 or something. But it's these real crude football helmet drawing, and it was the Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry.
See, I didn't hate Barry Switzer.
Oh, I hated him. And I hated the Cowboys, too. A lot of Nebraska fans are Cowboys fans.
Yeah.
And I was a Rams fan when I lived in Lincoln. I don't know why. I like the helmet, I think.
Speaking of that, Rams thing, we made it, when your brother was on, we talked about how the Rams are the place where Huskers go to die. And I got an email from a guy, Cody Hauser, and he said, Grant Wistrom won a Super Bowl with the Rams.
That's right.
So I need you to retract your statement. So I will do this. I'm not going to retract it, Cody, but what I will do is this. Grant Wistrom is the only great Husker player to ever play for the Rams and do well.
Well, Crouch got drafted by him,
and he
decided not to play. Phillips got drafted by him.
Yep.
And we know what happened there.
Incognito.
He was on the Rams?
Yeah.
He's been on a lot of teams, though. They've had some guys.
Yeah, but none of them did well at the Rams. That's
no,
my point.
Wistrom did, though.
Wistrom's the only one. Wasn't there a kicker?
One of the Browns?
Probably
one of the
Chris
Browns,
yeah.
Spent some years with them. I never observed that about the Rams, so I wasn't here. What's the guy's name?
Cody Hauser.
Cody, this wasn't me. But you're right about Wistrom. And thank you for listening, at least.
Yeah.
If we get a complaint email from somebody about something that happened, you know, 20 minutes into one of our podcasts, we look at that as like, all right, you made it that far in.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it sometimes because there's no actual response. People do listen to this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, listeners, we'd love your responses because when you're doing a podcast, you have no clue if you're just saying this to no one. So it's always good to know we're saying it to someone.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have another contest to get people involved.
Okay.
I want you to tweet at us who has a sexier voice.
Ooh.
Joe or Ryan. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Joe.
But I'm Ryan.
Why don't we say the same sentence?
Okay.
And whoever is got the better voice, you can tell us about.
Let's it should be something like hard, like something not sexy.
Right, right. Like
Oprah Winfrey.
Well, let's see, why don't we make it Husker centric?
Okay.
So let's say let's say something, you know, off this last topic. Let's say Bo Pelini. Say something about Bo Pelini.
Okay. What do we just say? Why don't we just say Bo Pelini?
Great.
Okay. Bo Pelini.
Bo Pelini.
See, it's not fair.
That sounded like a robot.
And you got to go second because you got to do it. You got to listen to what I do and then just one up it.
Right. Well, then why don't we? I'll just pick another guy now. I'll say this guy's name first.
Okay.
Mick Stoltenberg.
Mick Stoltenberg.
All right.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
So
let us know who has
a better
voice.
Let us know. It won't change anything, but
yeah,
but we'll know you're listening.
Yep. So yeah. So kinder, gentler Bo.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see as the season progresses. You know, and this is a little teaser for some of our future episodes. I believe Ryan is going to be headed down. Now, this is in a month or so, but he's going to be headed down to the spring game.
Yeah.
So we're going to hopefully do some interviews at that point. And that's what we're going to be trying to interject into this podcast is opportunities to interview Huskers or Husker-related people. We'll be bringing you those in the coming weeks, as well as our previews of the receiving core and the entire defense. We're going to be doing those in upcoming weeks. And,
yeah.
And more bits to come.
And also, if you think that you are the greatest Husker fan,
let us know.
And we'll talk to you about that.
Yeah.
But you got to be good. I don't want any of this, like, I own 50 Husker jerseys. We all own 50 Husker jerseys.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. You have to own 51.
Yeah.
I think we're about wrapped on this episode.
Yeah.
Special thanks goes out to Bob Wiltfong for helping us out with the offensive lineman bit.
Yep, and to Andrew Harris, and I don't know why I said that, Andy Harris, andyharris.com. He's been doing all the technical term, I guess, is imaging.
Ooh.
For our bits.
Nice, and please check out our Facebook page, The Big Red Cobcast, and of course, you're already checking out the podcast.
Yeah, and follow us on Twitter at
Weezalicious.
I'm Tweety.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.